is to be able to praise your name and look forward with such joy and expectancy. You can hardly wait for your return. When those archangels will blow, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ Jesus will rise, and we'll see you face to face. Lord Jesus, we look forward to that day. And Father God, I pray that your Son Jesus would become great in our lives, greater than our problems, greater than our worries and fears, greater than what we're going through at the moment, that you would be put to your proper place as the awesome holy God who reigns supreme over the universe, who will conquer sin and death finally, who will create the new heavens and the new earth with no sickness and sadness and sin anymore. You are victorious, Jesus. And we thank you for your holy word. And I pray, God, that you'd submit our hearts and minds to it. Give us understanding. We thank you for all the gifts that you provided in your creation and the relationships and all the things that we see in the Ten Commandments, the things that are not something that we shouldn't do, but they also speak of a gift that you've given us, something to steward in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. God, I pray that you grant us the understanding. I pray that you bless the children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As the children are dismissed, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to be looking today at verse 14. As we read this verse, Exodus 20, 14, you shall not commit adultery. For some of us, that brings sadness. For some of us, it might bring fear. For some of us, it might be feel like we're restricted. But no matter where you're at and what has happened in your past, I just want to begin the message today by saying, whatever has happened in your past, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask God's forgiveness and allow His blood to wash you clean from anything that is not pleasing to Him. Whether it's broken marriages, whether bad relationships, or mistakes that you've made in your past. But as we come to this, I want to invite you to look at it from a different perspective of rather than something that we shouldn't do in the sense of understanding why we shouldn't do it. Is because there's a great joy and a great peace when we receive the Lord's gift of sex in an honorable way. And for many years, I think the church has kind of dropped the ball on, in some sense, at least the American church, on talking about sex. We've been ashamed to talk about it. So since we didn't talk about it, secular society does and talks about it in a wrong manner. And so when we look at these commandments, the first commandments talk about loving God, and these talk about loving others. We talked about the family unit, which is the foundation of society. We talked about you should not murder last week. And the seventh commandment, the Lord prescribes what healthy sexuality looks like within the faithful, intimate, and sacrificial relational covenant of marriage. The Lord has gifted humans with the joy of sex. And in this commandment, God establishes that it goes much deeper than just a physical pleasure. But it's rooted in deep relationship and intimacy. When humans partake in a sexual relationship in the way God intended, they will experience pleasure to its fullest depths. Is there pleasure in partaking in sex outside the confines of marriage or some of the other things that we get caught up in? Certainly there is, but that is a pleasure that doesn't last forever. But there is a deeper pleasure, and it's rooted in deep relationships, and so we're going to look at that today. So first of all, I want to begin by looking at what the word adultery means. When he says, you shall not commit adultery, it means to apostatize or to break wedlock. So when we break that down in the Hebrew, it is the abandonment or breaking of a previous loyalty or commitment. So when we use the word adultery in a general sense, not just referring to marriage or sex inside the marriage, but it is the breaking of a loyalty or commitment or a breaking of a trust. When we dig a little deeper, it's when someone abandons their relationship, commitment, or allegiance to another person by engaging in physical, spiritual, emotional, or mental intimacy with someone else. And so adultery is not just the act of sex. Adultery can be when our thoughts become asphyxiated on someone else other than our spouse. And just like in our spiritual walk, the Bible talks a lot about spiritual adultery. When we start to obsess over the things of this world and the idols and replace our worship with God, oftentimes with ourself or other things and other people. But when we come to the covenant of marriage, as he's established here with honoring our father and mother and the family unit, in marriage, it's when one spouse betrays or violates the trust of their spouse by developing and engaging in unhealthy, romantic, passionate attachment. Now remember that word attachment. It's not something that just happens immediately or overnight, but it happens over time. So it's an attachment with someone else outside of the marriage. This attachment can be physical. It could be spiritual. It could be emotional attachment, and it could be a mental attachment. I just love, and I get along with this person at work so well, and I mentally just am attracted to them. And so I begin to become attached and then violate the trust with my spouse or with my wife. It's in the context of relationship with God when his people turn aside from worshiping him and replacing him with the worship of idols. So this idea of attachment, and the devil is so sly, this does not happen just overnight. It happens through many different avenues, through flirting, through internet pornography, all these things that the devil has aligned, and we have it all in a package in our phones that we can have easily access. But then when it's something that we look at, then it comes to the next step or the next stage where we see somebody that we are attached to. And so it is so important. Now, young people, one day you might grow up and you may get married. And I want you to know, as we talk about this sacred covenant, that when you hit puberty and you like boys or like girls, and right now you might still be in the stage of, ew, girls have cooties or boys have cooties or boys are stupid. You know, it takes boys a little longer to develop, just so you know. I mean, but I want you to know that that's normal, that's natural when you begin to develop those desires. It's okay. I think in the past we have said, don't do this, purity, and have your purity ring, abstain, abstain, to the point that we're like afraid to even look at somebody. But realize and enjoy those relationships, but understand them in their proper place. It's normal to have those feelings. If you're a young lady and you begin to have some flutterbys in your heart when Derek walks by in the lunchroom, or young men when Clarissa walks by in the hallway. There's no Clarissas in your school? Oh, okay. There's somebody else, probably. It's okay. It's normal. Celebrate it, because God has put that within you. It is a gift, and it's going to be fulfilled one day when you get married. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to point out this passage in Matthew. It says, you've heard what it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There's that attachment. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better than you lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members that your whole body go to hell. Now, we might look at that and say, well, do I interpret that literally? Well, we have phrases that we use in the English language, and it was the same in the Hebrew. When we want to help somebody out, you see, and we really love somebody, we say, I would give my right arm for them. So do we have people walking around with their right arms cut off and say, here's my right arm, you can have it? No, it's a phrase to emphasize the extremity and the importance of this matter. It's saying, whatever it takes, honor this, treasure this idea of marriage and sex. First of all, I want to point out the Lord's gift of sex is at its best when the covenant faithfulness is between one biological male and one biological female in marriage. I didn't used to have to be so wordy back in the day. And now we have to be wordy. You are born a male or a female. You're born with certain body parts that deem you as a male or a female. And God has designed marriage to be that covenant relationship that you can enter into. So sex, when you finally consummate the marriage, it's almost like sealing the deal. After you get married, it's the cement or glue or the bond of marriage, the act of sex. But sex is, again, we're going to get into this, is much deeper than just the physical act. It's a relationship, it's a friendship, it's intimacy, it's knowing the other person deeply, it's being friends with them, being life partners with them, being on the same team as they're on. So when we look at it that way, forbidding all forms of sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman does not make sex bad, but it rather makes it good, because sex is gifted to us by God as a powerful force for good. So you say, well, you know, I can't look at things online, or I can't have sex outside of marriage. I can't cohabitate with somebody outside of marriage, or I can't participate in homosexual desires or intimacy. So here's the thing. You say, well, it's bad. And that's what society says. Sex is bad. They speak that word, unless you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. But really, when we don't use it in the way that God intended, we cheapen it. And we make it just as common as dirt. God has gifted us young people and old people and in-between people and wherever you think you are at with this gift from God of intimacy and relationship. I want to read some more passages of Scripture. This one in Mark 10, Jesus talks and says, and sums all of this together. He says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. This is clearly stated by Jesus in the New Testament. This is not, you know, a lot of people, there's a movement in the church today. Well, you know, Jesus didn't establish marriage between a man and a woman. He says it right here very clear and plainly. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. That's the attachment that you have. Hold fast to his wife, not someone else down the road, not somebody that you flirted with at work, not somebody else or something else. But he says the two shall become one flesh. You see, there's sex unites you together as one. And that doesn't mean you lose your personality and your gifts. It's like, well, when Tanya and I got married, we just kind of became one and I swallowed it up and she took on my personality. No, definitely not. Two very different personalities. But we're one in unity in this covenant relationship. Till death do we part. In sickness and in health. Whether that's physical sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness. Till death do we part. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So know this. I didn't get married until I was in my late 30s, if that might give you hope. Don't, if you get discouraged, like, well, I haven't met the man of my dreams or the woman of my dreams, and you're 20-something. God, it says God joins people together. God does it. God moves things in your life. And I know it's difficult in today's society to meet people, and it's hard to meet Christian men and women, even in the church. Yeah, having dealt in many years with helping people in counseling and things like that, women will go out with men who say that they're Christians, and on the first date they say, let's go have sex, which cheapens the whole relationship. Don't go to those people. Hebrews 13:4, it says, let marriage be held in high honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. So what that word honor, it means to value or esteem as something very costly. It's your reputation. It's something honorable. So those, and when you're a teenager, those feelings that begin to develop, they're costly feelings. They're valuable feelings. And they are meant to be used and consumed in the context of marriage. And when we talk about the marriage bed, this is very interesting. The word in the Greek means like a couch or cohabitation. By implication, so basically what it's saying there, he said, don't defile the marriage bed. You know how people defile the marriage bed? By cohabitating outside of marriage. And so that is in the Greek word there. So it's let not the marriage bed be undefiled. Now there's going to be push for you as young people in college and your friends and peers and say, treating a relationship as something like try before you buy. Relationships with others and this gift from God is not something that you can just return and take back to the store. Rather, go on lots of dates with Christian men and women. Get to know people. You don't have to be stuck in like, oh, it's got to be my girlfriend or boyfriend. You're 10 years old or 14 years old and you're like, well, I'm going steady. You're going to go through many relationships out of that. Date and get to know people, and then eventually God's going to lead you to the right person. But you don't need to live together to find out about that person. You spend time with them, you meet for premarital counseling, and you discover what it is about them that you love, and you get to know them. Because I can tell you, most often when people cohabitate together before marriage, it ends up in disaster. Time and time again of people that I've witnessed and seen. And that's because God's word prescribed this to be holy and separate and special. It's a lifetime commitment. It is treasuring and honoring that person for life. So if you're married, this means to not defile the marriage bed is to refuse to flirt with someone else. Here's another thing. Refuse to seek emotional support from someone outside your marriage when you're not getting it from your spouse. And this is one of the big ways that people are led down a bad path. Is if you're not getting the support you need from your husband or wife at home, is that you begin to look for it in other people. And pretty soon, step by step, you're going in a direction. And I want to say to you too, if you're single and you're in relationships, if the man is with you for 100 years and never asks you to marry him, there's something wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have friendships that are lifelong and good with people, because a lot of people do that. They choose, well, I don't want to get married. I don't want that commitment. I don't want the depth of sex or living together and all that sort of thing, becoming one. I don't want that. It's okay to be friends. But I'm talking about people that have the intention romantically who want to take that next step. If that person is on one hand saying, you're my baby doll, you're my all in all, we're going to get married, but then has another little mistress on the side, or this woman has another man at work that she's flirting with, as hard as it might be, the best thing is for you to wipe your hands of that person and let them go and release them in the name of Jesus. Because they're playing and toying with your emotions. Because the marriage covenant is between one man, not one woman, not three women and one man or three men and one woman. It is meant to be a commitment for life of love. And no matter how much someone might tell you that they love, oh, I just love you, I love you, I love you, and they refuse to enter into the marriage covenant, or they have something else going on the side, or they've had a history of divorce after divorce after divorce after divorce, that's usually a good sign they're not going to commit to you. But if there's hope, there's encouragement, if you wait, God is going to bring the right godly woman or man in your life. Don't settle for less. You are not second best. Young people, remember this. You are not second best. Well, I might as well marry this person because there's going to be nobody else that likes me. And you don't really love them. And they're not really committed to you. Or they're just toying with you. Say, bye-bye, see you later. I'm a dignified child of God. I am a woman after God's heart. I am a man after God's heart. And I am going to move on to what God has for me. You deserve the best. Because God's gift of sex is sacred and beautiful. If you're not married yet, the question should never be, how much physical intimacy can I get away with? And you will start to ask those questions, and perhaps even later in life you ask, well, how much can I get away with, and can we hold hands, can we kiss, can we hug? It's not about all that. But it should be, how can I preserve the joy of sex with the person I will one day be married to? How can I pray for my future spouse? How can I say, you know what, I want this thing to be joyful and exciting. How can I preserve it? So the wrong question is asked, how much can I get away with? How much stuff can I look at online? Or how many people can I string along? But it's how can I preserve the joy in this gift that God has given? So why sex out of marriage robs a person of true joy and satisfaction? I want to just give you some quick scriptures here. And the first one is in Proverbs chapter 6. Why sex outside of marriage robs a person of true joy. Proverbs says that it's costly and it may even cost your life. It's like playing with fire. He warns, he says, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of the prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So he who goes into his neighbor's wife, none who touches her will go unpunished. So in other words, you're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. And then not only that, if you're married, don't make your wife a woman that hunts you down for a precious life. Next, why sex outside of marriage robs a person is that your honor and strength is going to be given to others. Now, you have honor and strength and dignity given to you by God, and it should not be taken advantage of by other people, and your life should not be wasted. This is a powerful scripture. He says, now, sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of the foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and your body are consumed and you say, how I hated discipline. And my heart despised reproof. And maybe today, this is that day that God is speaking to you. Don't waste your life. Don't come to the end of your life and say, I am just totally consumed. I've allowed this man or this woman to rob me of my joy and take away my honor and dignity. I've allowed them to take advantage of me. And the last thing is of course, it incurs the wrath of God. And God, this is why we shouldn't think about it as like, well, this is not something we can do. But God does this for our protection and for our enjoyment. He says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor greet, and he goes on and it says they will inherit the kingdom, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But this is the hope. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you're made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. That gives us hope. And I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're struggling with sexual immorality. Or you might say, well, I'm a male and I have some desires for other men. Or I'm a female and I have desires for other things. I would encourage you to go to the Lord, it says, and not condemn yourself. Don't say, well, I have these desires, so I'm trash and I might as well just follow this lifestyle. There are many things that happen in our lives that cause confusion in our mind and in our brains. Not only that, each and every one of us biologically has different, because we're living in a sinful world, we have fallenness in our hearts and minds and brains, and we might be prone to one direction or the other. So the idea is to say, well, don't condemn yourself. Just because you have those feelings, it doesn't mean that you're a homosexual. Or just because today you feel like, wow, I'm an eagle soaring in the wind, and so I'm going to jump off the building. If that's not how God designed you and made you to be, you don't follow those thoughts or those feelings, but say, okay, I have those. I'm not going to judge myself for that, but I'm going to step out and obey the Word of God. I'm going to unpack what's happened in my life. I'm going to go and be washed in the blood of the Lamb and let God do His work. Just because you feel something, that doesn't mean that's what you are. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell, from the devil, that's in our culture today. It's costly. Our strength will be stolen. And then the Lord's gift of sex is at its best within the covenant faithfulness between one biological male and a biological female. So let's move on to number two. The Lord's gift of sex thrives in sacrificial love and respect in marriage. And I want to just begin by pointing out that sex thrives when there is mutual gratification, not just self-gratification. So what drives porn? It's self-gratification. What drives affairs? Self-gratification. But when we look at marriage, sex thrives when there is mutual gratification. So one day, if you're married now, or one day you will be married, realize that this gift of marriage is to serve one another. Now, a lot of times, men, especially men, would struggle with this, is that sex is all about the feeling I can get. But women look at it, well, did he say hi to me this morning? Did he give me flowers? Did he build a relationship connection with me throughout the day and throughout the week? I think it seems like women more often than men have a sense that sex is more than just physical. It's serving one another. It's being present for one another. Sex thrives in the context of love that's sacrificial and respect. This passage in Ephesians, I'm sure you're all familiar with, begins with, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave herself. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. A marriage that thrives is where husbands sacrifice and give their life for their wives. If it's something that you want to do and your flesh just wants to do, is to sacrifice it, to crucify it with the blood of Jesus Christ, to sacrifice for your wife's sake. And then he talks about in verse 29, no one has ever hated his own flesh, but we nourish and cherish it. And so we talk about this idea of sacrifices, nourishing and cherishing one another in our relationship, giving them priority. And then he talks about the wife having respect for her husband at the end of the passage. And so the two go hand in hand together. And we've talked about this in other messages before. But if you forget everything, remember this. Love, sacrificial love, giving up self for loving and forsaking the serving of the other person and having respect for one another. You know, the King James, another version say that let the wife submit to her husband. And we don't like that word today. But I'm telling you that submission cannot work without sacrificial love. And sacrificial love cannot work without respect. If you have one without the other, that's the beginning of a marriage that is falling apart. Sacrificial love and respect. So sex thrives when there is mutual gratification and when it's in the context of love. And last of all, the Lord's gift of sex is most satisfying and grows when intimacy or closeness or friendship is based on spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental connection in marriage. And that's a lot of words. Sex is not just physical. It is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual covenant where God is in it. God joins together. God seals. God gives us the gift. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is the foundation of a marriage. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as the priority in your marriage, spiritually, sex will have something major missing. And then, of course, there's the physical, which we're all familiar with. But there's also emotional connection. I know husbands and wives that many times deal with, like, let's get this over with, or one or the other, or I've had a bad day, I don't want to do this. Or I'm checking out mentally. Not even noticing my wife, or not even noticing your husband. Sex is most satisfying when it's based on a holistic relationship. And it is most satisfying when you're engaged and present with your spouse on an ongoing basis. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about the matter of sex. And he says, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. It's interesting that the ESV uses that word, and we usually think of that in prison terms. If someone's in prison and they get to go and have sex with their spouse in prison. But this is basically the command that God has given to husbands and wives in the context of marriage. It says, and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come back together again, that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So one of the reasons why people drift apart into adultery is they deprive one another. Well, you didn't do this for me, so I'm not going to do this for you. And pretty soon there's a wedge driven, and the person over here is giving you attention. And then things start to fall apart. Proverbs 5. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Oh, wait a minute. Before we get to that, I just want to say, Tanya and I, we've joked about that a lot. Your body belongs to me and my body belongs to you. One more thing about that. That doesn't mean that you mistreat the other person's body or use it for your advantage. We come like ravenous wolves and your wife's had a long day and struggling. You're like, oh, come on, your body belongs to me, baby. (Laughs) That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about mutual love and respect for the body. And remember, go back to that Ephesians, nourish and cherish. You don't take advantage of your own body or beat your own body. Force yourself to do stuff that you don't want to do at the moment. All right. This is a beautiful part in Proverbs. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely doe, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? He says, why settle for less than the one who God has given you? Have you ever read the book of Song of Solomon? A lot of people use that scripture as, well, it's talking about Christ in the church. It may be in a second manner or meeting, but it's a relationship between a man and a woman. And when I talked about being holistic, here you can see the picture of that. Here's the man. He says, behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. It's not just about physical sex. It's about enjoying the beauty of the other person and engaging with them. The she, behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. And then again, in the end of Song of Solomon, I left out the graphic parts. You can read that on your own. Oh, you who dwell in the gardens with companions listening for your voice, let me hear it. How many times has your wife or spouse says, you're totally consumed with your phone and you're not listening to me? The holistic part of the relationship is being a listener. And she responds, make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. Even as you age, you can enjoy one another. But I also want to say today, when we talk about losing connection with our spouse, and then I have one more important thing before we leave, is how do we lose connection? And that's through fantasizing about the possibilities of intimacy with someone else outside of the marriage. You might have been married for a while and you're like, I'm just the habits of this person are driving me nuts. Tanya can list a whole bunch of habits. I can list her habits and leaving drawers and doors open and all that kind of stuff. I always worry about getting my leg on them. And we had a conversation. She said, well, you have habits I don't like too. It's true. So when we get in those spots, do we begin to fantasize, well, what if something else or so-and-so would have been better than this other person? Or how about zoning out in the TV or cell phone? Men, we're famous for this. The sports game is on. We're checked out. The wife is like, I need help with this, honey. And we're like, as if she doesn't even exist. It could be hobbies, work. It could be books or podcasts or YouTube or scrolling through TikTok videos or music, whatever it is, takes your attention off. But it's also through failing to have meals together and spend quality time. So I want to encourage, if you are married, to make sure that you spend meals together. Be intentional about that, of spending time together with some hobbies that you share together. The other way we begin, and the biggest way that we're dealing with in our society today, is through internet pornography. It's at our access, it's at our fingertips, but it's nothing but a shallow substitute for the real thing. So the Lord's gift of sex is most satisfying. It grows when it's holistic connection. I want to just speak for a moment for some of you that are single and you may never be married. Do you know that the scripture says, or you were married at one point and you don't want to marry again, the scripture says that is honorable. That is very honorable and pleasing to the Lord. So if you're here today and you might say, well, I feel bad. He's talked all about marriage this morning and I'm single. The Word of God teaches that you are better off because you can dedicate your whole life to the Lord. And you're not bogged down with the things of this world because, as all of us know that are married, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time and sacrifice. The gift is wonderful, but if you have the gift of remaining single, what a blessing from God. You can serve the Lord in whatever way that you want to serve Him. And if you choose to do that route and you have good friends and you have a friend of the opposite sex that you're with on an ongoing basis, great, praise God. Let that friendship be an encouragement. Let the body of Christ be of encouragement to you. But there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, you have a special gift that most of us don't have. So praise God for that. I want to close. I want to ask our worship team to come. Sex is a beautiful, spiritual, and joyful gift from God that should never be watered down or misused. Since it is a beautiful gift of God, if you choose to remain single, most definitely don't misuse it. If you're married, God has gifted you with a spouse, receive it with joy. 1 Corinthians ties everything together that we said. He says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. There's your dignity. There's your honor as a child of God. Or do you not know that he who is joined to the prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one in spirit with him. Flee, run from, get away from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or you do not know that your body is the temple of the Spirit within, Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. So if you're single, glorify God in your body. If you're married, glorify God in your body. And enjoy this gift that God has given you. If you're a young person and one day you have the hope of having a relationship, glorify God with your body. And look at it as a joy, as like, I am getting prepared for something great. And begin to pray for your future husband or wife. That's an awesome thing to do. So in summary, the Lord's gift is at its best within the covenant faithfulness of a marriage between a man and a woman, biological. The Lord's gift of sex thrives in a sacrificial love and respect in a marriage. And the Lord's gift of sex is most satisfying and grows when intimacy is based on the whole person, a connection and relationship in marriage. There might be some of you in here that are hurting today. There might be some of you in here that maybe have been taken advantage of. And you're praying for God to give you the strength to take those next steps in your life. I encourage you to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you need to grab somebody after the service or even during this last song and just pray, that's good. That's fine too. But I want you to know that the Lord is here to minister to the depths of your sorrow and your heart where you're most deeply hurting, and He cares and He's concerned. And perhaps today you feel sad at some of the mistakes that you've made in your past. I want you to know that the Lord, there is no sin in regards to adultery that is not too big for God to forgive and wash clean through His blood. Amen. Father, I thank you for all that you've given us today. Help us to understand.